Good morning. That was very good. I enjoyed that. Love will keep us together. And leaning on the everlasting arms, I think about the strength that we have in numbers. I think about team. Jim Winkler and I played hockey for George Leach. And he said he would much rather have a bunch of dedicated average players that work together than have all-stars that were independent. That's how I got on the team. But isn't that true that what we're looking for is strength and stability? And I'm so thankful that we can rely on not only each other, but we can rely on the everlasting arms of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you a story. My dad was my hero in so many ways, and I would hang on to him like there was no tomorrow. And I remember I would feel so safe when I was holding his arm or his hand. It was just, there's nothing. I'm 10 feet tall hanging onto his arm. I remember we were away in Saginaw, Michigan, and I got lost in a Kmart. And I was just panicking, and I went into every section, and he's not around. And I went into the washroom, and I went into every spot, and he's gone. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure if I thought maybe the Lord had come or what, but anyways, it was pretty devastating. If you can just imagine getting yourself into that state where everything that you depend on is gone. And I finally figured out, I would go to the front desk, and they would call his name, and they did that. And they, you know, Mr. Sarlo, there's a boy here that's lost. And I saw him coming down the aisle, and it just ran. Jump, you know, hold him by his leg, and then, you know, you try shopping for the next 6 hours with a kid on your leg. It's just, you know, it's almost impossible. But that kind of stability of support and understanding and care, and that's what we have for each other, and that's what we're going to speak about this morning. I want to use some biblical references to what we speak about. So if you have your Bible and you have it with you, I'd like that. It would be great if we could hear the pages turn or electronically. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. We're going to read together about something that significantly references what we're talking about this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And New King James Version. Then those who, I'm going to start in at verse 41. That's fine. Then those who gladly received his word, this is Peter, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Man, it was an amazing time. Peter had just finished preaching the most powerful sermon recorded in Scripture. And if you take some time and read, as Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, think about this. This is 50 days after he denied the Lord. This is 50 days after he ran like a scared rabbit, and yet he stood up by the power of the Holy Spirit that came. And it came earlier in the verses at Pentecost. It came in the sound of fire, and it came in as a wind. And people were able to hear their own dialect and their own tongue being spoken by the believers that were there. And Peter got up and he spoke a sermon, and he declared to them that they needed to do something. They had to repent and be baptized. They had to call out the name of Jesus in their life and step forward. In verse 38, it's the largest our altar call response that we have recorded. In verse 38, it says, that they came forward and they were baptized. 3,000 souls were brought to Christ and came to Christ and were baptized, and the church was born in Acts chapter 2. Wow, wouldn't have been great to be there. Imagine what it would have been like. Imagine the enthusiasm that racked that group, the excitement of this newfound followers of the way. Even though their leader had been crucified, yet they knew the power of the Spirit as seen and testified, the signs and the wonders, and they would have been excited. What great enthusiasm would have been in that early church. Maybe you remember in your own life what it was like when you first came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Maybe you just take a minute and think back how excited you were. You were all in to following the Lord. There was nothing going to stop you. You were convinced that this was everything that you needed from that point forward. For some, it would have been a drastic change in both lifestyle and interest. I'm sure it would have been the difference between day and night. For others of you, maybe it would have been somewhat gradual as the Holy Spirit directed you in the way that he would have you go in the will of your life. For me, it was even different than that. I was, as far as I can remember, as far back as I can remember, I understood the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was brought up in that. And I was saved when I was 10 years old. There's not a lot of things change when you're 10 years old. And so life went on, and I had no doubt that I was a believer in Jesus Christ and that he had saved me from a lost eternity. But as I got older, I had this way of I needed to express myself, to do things my own way. And I compromised my faith for years, thinking I could just do things what I wanted and how I wanted, and I don't want to be classified with that particular group of Christians. And for me, it was a slow slide, and it was to the point where I had to obey the call on my life from Jesus Christ. I had to sooner or later say, Lord, you either called me or you didn't call me. And it was 19 years old when I recommitted my life to the Lord and actually took it serious that the call that I had when I was 10 needed to work itself out in a real lifestyle and a real relationship and a real forward focus for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember that time, I couldn't wait to get together with believers and go to church gatherings and go to events. Now, there was a really cute girl that used to go to those church services and those events, so that helped me in my encouragement. and I ended up marrying that very cute girl. So it was the Lord, he just did wonders in my life. But we need each other, and part of that connection was, I believe, sent from God. And I think that part of that whole stability that I had, not only making that turn to the Lord, but also having others that we could share our life together, was critical. It was paramount in the value of the change in my life. And maybe you'll look and think and maybe process even in your life how that worked out with you, and maybe even with your spouse or people that are dating right now, and the support and the youth groups and college and careers and all those levels of fellowship and interaction. Well, in our text this morning, we read about an early church. The church was born in Acts chapter 2, and there was some very apparent characteristics that formed that church or that group of people that gathered. Their new enthusiasm and exuberance came out in four distinct priorities. And I'm going to share that with you later, but it was in teaching and in fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. You know what I call it? I call it 33 AD small groups. That's what I call it. You know, just think about that early church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they went from 120 fellowshipping believers to 3,120 in one day. And this early church would not have had a place to go to chapel like we have on Black Dirt Road. It says in verses 46 that they continued going to the temple for prayers and for praising, But their teaching and their fellowship and their interaction and their breaking of bread in the remembrance communion service and the fellowship that they had happened in that same verse, house to house. In order for us to be relevant with the same value as they did in AD 33 in 2017, I think things haven't changed that much. In order for us to encourage, build up, teach, have fellowship in a meaningful way, it means we need to be involved in each other's lives. What does that look like here at Bethel Bible Chapel? Well, it looks like small groups. You look at this group this morning, and we're so thankful. And I love coming here collectively and singing praise and fellowshipping at this level. But we're doing a directory because we can't remember people's names because I have to put a face with a name. In our leadership meetings, I don't want you to laugh at this because it's kind of critical, but we saw this new person. Yeah, they were sitting there. It's the guy with the mustache and the black hair. So we need to come from that level of interaction that's somewhat superficial to a more meaningful involvement in each other's lives so we can encourage and build up and support. The one another's that we read in Scripture happen at that level. They happen where we can actually touch each other's lives. A place where we can be real with each other and we can grow together in the Lord. Our small group mission statement here at Bethel Bible Chapel, I want you to listen to this. The purpose of small groups is to nurture an atmosphere in which people can care for and connect with one another while growing in a personal faith and service for Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that together, and I apologize for not having this on the screen. The purpose of small groups is to nurture an atmosphere in which people can care and connect with one another while growing in a personal faith and service for Jesus Christ. Small groups are designed to promote fellowship and unity. They nurture our spiritual gifts and in a safe environment where we can feel vulnerable, but allow that vulnerability to exist. It should never substitute the collective gathering that we have here on Sundays or Sunday nights. But it enhances it because as you go to small groups and you're enthused about your faith and people share with each other and then you come here as a collective group and it just responses out of your heart because you've been with others that are of like faith and you've been with the Lord. It equips us to love and to learn and to serve and to be a influence in our sphere of influence that we have out there. Wherever you are, wherever the Lord has parked you in life, whatever job you have, whatever ability you have to connect with others, this small group ministry helps us to have that support whereby we can go out and be the arms and feet and a voice of Jesus Christ. Now, what a better way for me to communicate small groups is not for me to tell you about it, but to have actual testimonies of people that have experienced this kind of growth and stability and encouragement for a small group. So we're going to have a couple of testimonies this morning. We're going to first listen to a few of them, and then I'm going to read one at the end. But first, we've got college and careers. Now, Shelley Johnson is not here this morning. She's under the weather, but she was going to come up and give testimony. But two of the leaders of small groups are going to come up right now, Jared Horseman and Dave Carlaccio, and going to read some things that Shelley has written down. But this is one of our small group groups that are knit together and are encouraging each other in their faith. So guys, come on up and just share with us what the Lord has put on your heart and some of the things that we should know about how that operates.
So first thing, I guess, just what CNC is in particular is just college and careers. Anyone who's in college like this guy or new to a career like me can come out and just enjoy fellowship. I'm probably the oldest one there now, thanks to Rajan passing the buck. But anyone should feel welcome, new or old, who fits into those categories. We're starting September 23rd, 3 p.m. at the wonderful home of the Dickies, We always appreciate going. We don't have to go house to house because we have one offered up to us. And then September 27th at 7 o'clock, we'll start weekly occurrences. And it just, it's a really good place just to find fellowship with like-minded people who are in similar circumstances of life. We'll hopefully sing if musicians come, because we are not, if you know us at all. And then we'll have time much like this where everyone will listen to a small sermon, and then we'll break off into even smaller groups where we can really, really open up. So now I'm going to invite Dave to read his lovely woman's testimony.
Okay, so this is a testimony of Shelley, who comes to our College and Careers Bible study. My family and I started coming to Bethel in the winter of 2015. For me, this was the first time I regularly attended church in years. I had been brought up in a Christian home, but I became separated from God during my adolescence. Because of this, I didn't have many Christian friends around my age anymore. After attending Bethel for a short few months, my family and I began to feel part of the church family. Everyone was so welcoming and kind to us. It was exciting to not only be coming to church every Sunday, but to desire to be coming to church every Sunday, knowing that my thirst for the Lord would be quenched during each morning service. Spring and summer passed, and soon it became fall. This would be the start of my fourth year of nursing school. I had decided that it was time for me to start getting involved in a Bible study, and CNC seemed perfect for me. My only obstacle was that I'm an extremely shy person. The thought of going to a Bible study alone was very intimidating for me. Thankfully, I'd gotten to know Danielle Drinkwater through mutual friends, and we decided that we should go together. It would take a little extra effort because we lived on opposite ends of town, but we made it work. Danielle and I went to the first couple of Bible studies together. They were great, but also very nerve-wracking for me. I could never figure out why I felt so intimidated. I concluded that this was Satan trying to discourage me from going. Unfortunately, after the first few weeks of attending together, Danielle informed me that her school schedule would conflict with Wednesday nights and prevent her from being able to come on a regular basis. A few days later, I decided to go to the mall on a weeknight to visit the Kudo kiosk and change my phone plan. On my way back to my car, I ran into Braylon Black and Ariana Henson. These were my old childhood friends from my younger Sunday school days at Bethany Baptist. I hadn't seen or spoken to them for a long time. We caught up, and before we parted, we agreed that we should get together. We decided on making a Facebook chat group and connect sometime in the future. The following Wednesday, Danielle messaged me saying that she wouldn't be able to make it to Bible study. I thought maybe I wouldn't go, but then I thought of Braylon and Ariana. I messaged them on our new Facebook chat, and that night we all attended Bible study together. Actually, we attended Bible study together every week after that. That fall, my spiritual life began to change. I realized I couldn't live out my faith alone, and I found a sense of community with the friendships that began to form at CNC. Every Wednesday night, I indulged in worship, studying the book of Hebrews, and group prayer sessions. The group also started meeting for Sunday evening service. God was teaching me about the importance of encouraging and uplifting one another. My fourth year of nursing was tough, with long clinical days and high-pressure exams. So I often was reaching out to my friends for prayer and support, and they were always faithful to be there for me. It's a year later, and I've recently thought about how much God has changed my social life in a year, and because of this, how much I've grown as a Christian. I've let go of friendships that weren't a support to me spiritually, and I've made some true friendships that have Christ as a foundation. I strongly encourage each of you to get involved in a small group. If you let him, I believe God will do the same thing for you. God does not intend for us to walk through our spiritual lives alone. So, thanks for listening. And if anybody's out there and like to join our College and Careers group, you can talk to me and Jarrett after the service. And here's just a picture from our CNC retreat we did at ABK in June. So, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much. Right on. Selena Lindsay is coming up next, and she's going to share with us.
Good morning. Fall is one of my favorite times of the year as our small groups start up again. For the past 3 years, I've been part of Len and Becky Peake's small group at their home. Our group looks forward to seeing each other each week, getting caught up on our daily lives and concerns over snacks and coffee. There's a lot of laughter and fun in our group. We then watch a short video that follows along with the Bible study book we're reading. Afterwards, we can ask questions and voice concerns on the study. This helps us to gain understanding on how God's word relates to our own lives. We then end the evening with prayer requests for people who ask or anyone we know of that needs prayers. Through small groups, you get to meet new people, make new friends, be encouraged, and be an encouragement to others. I can tell you that each session of the small groups has not only deepened and grown my relationships with these people, but with God as well. My love, faith, and trust in God's working in my life grows with each of these groups. Last year, on April 27th, God let me experience how he works and how he uses his church to show his love and compassion for me. That day, I had a heart attack while jogging. My doctors were as shocked as I had none of the reasons to even have had one. Thankfully, it was a mild one, and there was no damage to my heart. As you can imagine, I was a little shocked and anxious myself. I have no immediate family other than my three teenagers here in Sault Ste. Marie. My family in Alberta were naturally upset and concerned for me. They felt helpless being so far away. I sent Len Peake a text telling him what had happened, and immediately he notified our small group members and our prayer warriors here at Bethel. It wasn't long before people from my small group and church started showing up. Ironically, Debbie Jo Linklater was the first person to show up. She had pasta, meatballs, and garlic toast for me. I'm not sure if she wanted any new business, but anyways, in case you didn't know her, she is our local mortician and funeral director. I was still glad to see her. She was followed by Bill and Chris McLean, who prayed with me and let me know that the church would be there to help me with whatever I needed. Throughout the week that I was in the hospital, God provided. From small group visitors, good friends, and even old neighbors who were my nurses. Every aspect during and after my hospital stay was taken care of so that I could rest. God had taught me how he works, loves, and provides. He provided a family for me when I needed one the most. Small groups are so important to our Christian lives, our relationships with God and with one another. So I encourage you today to get connected and sign up for one of our small groups. Thank you.
Thank you, Selena. That was great. And Marilyn LaFleur is coming up. You got to worry if Debbie Jo is the first one that shows up at your house. Sorry, Deb. She's the last one to let you down.
Well, there's no place to go but up after that. Oh, so how it is that I became to go to small group. Sunday morning service is lovely. I love it. I get so much spiritual food and communion. It's beautiful, and I feel great Sunday night, and I feel great Monday. I carry it to work, and I can express to others my faith in different ways. But by Tuesday, I'm getting depleted, and I'm going down a little bit. My speech is a little bit not as holy as it can be, and the trials of work and life just compound. So by the middle of the week, I am so hungry, and I really need the Lord. I need fellowship. I need other Christians to help me. I need help to live a spiritual life. I need help to grow. So it brings me to go to Bill and Chris's home, where I always feel like I have a place there. I have a really nice rocking chair, and don't anybody steal it either when I go. And a hot cup of coffee, and really good friends, and I just found that this was a missing link for me. I grew in my spirit, in my word, in the word of God. I grew in the Bible. There was a lot that I thought I knew, and I just, we had studied the book of Revelation and the connection between Genesis and Revelation, and I was praying for years for the Lord to help me to understand. I couldn't do it alone, and it just brought so much light to my walk with the Lord and my independent study at home. Any question I'd ask Bill or Chris or anybody there, they were so happy to answer all my questions. And the people that I met were just beautiful, and I love them, and I carry them even today. I carry everybody, and I get excited when I see everybody from our group. And just to finalize what I'm trying to put into words, this is a big congregation, right? Mm-hmm. So all that good spiritual food is to me on Sundays, but in the middle of the week, it really, really helps me to come to small group. And questions that I had about Bethel, because I did not grow up here. We started to come here about 7 years ago. I had a lot of questions, and I don't know if Bill knew it or not, but he answered me and confirmed over and over again that this is a place for me. And through that little connection between big church and small group, I know Bethel as a whole a lot better. I'm a lot closer to the church as a whole, and I really feel like I belong here. And it exceeded my expectations for learning. I thought I knew it all. I've been a Christian for a little while, but oh my goodness, there was some very, very good spiritual food that I needed, and I got it. And I'm going back again this year, and I encourage everybody, if you have any doubts, it's just blessings. It's more and more blessings. Every time I go, every time I leave, I've learned something. Biblical-wise, I've learned something. And I've learned to appreciate what other people are going through. I'm not the only one that has problems. There's a lot of other people that need prayer, and I feel like I can contribute. Even I can contribute. And it's a good, confident feeling. So I thank Bill and Chris for your hospitality and for the knowledge that I thought I knew, but I really didn't, and for putting me on the right path biblically and confirming all the everything that Bethel is about, they have confirmed. So it was just like, I can't go and ask Andrew or any of the other elders in the middle of a sermon when I'm thinking in questions, but certainly they were answered, and I was blessed. So come out if you're not sure. I don't think you'll be disappointed. There's a blessing for each of us. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you very much. Thank you, Marilyn. That was great. I want to just read something that Judy Barton wrote. Judy can't be with us today because she's away, but I think it's worth us listening to her. She was going to be the fourth testimony. And she wrote a lot of this just at the time when she became a believer in Jesus Christ. As a new Christian, I felt I needed to understand everything from Genesis to Revelation, and I needed to know by the following Sunday. After all, how can I call myself a Christian otherwise? Then on March the 12th, 2016, in Bill and Chris McLean's living room, Chris said, "Bill, we don't have a beginner's Bible study. I think we need one." In that moment, I had no idea the impact that small group would have on my journey as a Christian, but I was about to find out. Small groups broke it down and helped me to make sense of it all. Any question is okay to ask, and that's key. That's that fellowship of a small group of people where you're not feeling like it has to be perfect, and that you have the freedom to ask whatever the question is. Any question is okay to ask. I also learned there was no way I was going to know everything by next Sunday, and that was going to be okay. We started out our small group of new Christians, but by the following September, we were joined by several people who are mature in their faith, and I think we would all agree we have learned from each other's experiences and questions. It is encouraging to know that your own faith can be strengthened through the insight of other believers. This is a comfortable and safe place to ask questions, share, and learn. There's a lot of wonderful caring in our group. It feels like a family. Oh, wait, we are a family. I have two daughters and my sister are all in the small group as well. It is a very personal experience to be with people who pray with each other and who care about your spiritual growth. Small group will help you grow in God's word and apply it in your own life. As it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 12, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I love Sunday services with whole Bethel community together, but small group prepares me to fully appreciate what I'm hearing on Sunday at church. I would encourage everyone to be part of a small group. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I among them. God bless Judy Barton. Well, we've got testimonies that you heard and testimonies that we read and testimonies of fellowshipping together. And I think it speaks for itself that the value that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that tells us that we're a body knit together and that every body needs every part that's part of that body. We need each other. We need to support. We need to encourage. We need to build each other up. We can't do this on our own. Going back to the characteristics in a few short minutes left of the early church, they were told, first of all, number one, that they continued. They passionately pursued. That's the word in the apostles' doctrine. And you can think about AD 33. The apostles' doctrine would have been the eyewitness accounts only of the apostles that saw and taught or were taught by Jesus Christ. There were no written scripture. And so the apostles' doctrine would have been the Old Testament. So that was written. But in terms of New Testament, it wasn't there. And yet it was the eyewitness account of what Jesus said. And they continued in that doctrine. And they continued teaching and learning. And today we have the whole canon of Scripture. And we want to build both our small groups and what we do here collectively on Sundays on the Word of God. We hear from many people, and you don't have to spend long in the Christian community to find out that churches are putting their Bible on a shelf and they're telling you about quick helps. Well, I'll tell you what, the quick helps is in the Word of God. And we're going to use this as the benchmark. We're going to use this as the guiding map. And we want to continue in the apostles' doctrine. And we want to do this both collectively off this platform. We want to do this in small groups. The second is fellowship. I love what Judy shared in Romans chapter 1 and verse 12. That we may encourage together with each other by mutual faith, both you and I. And that's from my translation. Mutual faith, that's what fellowship's all about. The word fellowship here means in joint participation. It means sharing something in common or our partnership. And that's what we are. We're a team. We're together for the gospel. We're together for Christ. And in Acts chapter 4, it says, when all the church got together, they were of one accord. And that's interesting. Of one accord. They were together. They had the same focus. They had the same direction. They studied the same word, and that's what we want to be in fellowship. We want to support each other. We want to come alongside. And you know, there's what Selena said when she had a issue in her life, and we have so many of these situations that come up and how you come alongside and you support and you encourage and you're there for each other. We need this. You know, we're not called to be Lone Ranger Christians. We're part of a body that needs every part, and we need an eye and we need a nose and we need a foot, and we need a toe. And we need every part, and every part is critical for this to work as the church that God intends. Breaking of bread, I want to just spend 2 minutes on that. This is not only just the communion service, although we're called for remembrance. We have a first service on Sunday at 9:30 where we take the elements of wine and bread and we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember his death in communion. And it's in partnership with him and his death because we've joined in him. And that's what we do when we take it. We actually participate with him in what he's given to us in his death and his resurrection. But it's more than that. You look at breaking of bread in the New Testament. And in verse 46 of this Acts 2, they went from house to house, a different breaking of bread. They shared a meal. Now, if you're in the Eastern culture, also in the Italian culture, one of the greatest honors is to share a meal with somebody and to sit across the table and to share. And that's what we do in small groups. Sometimes we get food brought and there's snacks, and sometimes it's more or less, whatever. But the point is that you share at that level of intimacy. There's nothing like sitting around a table and interacting with someone of like faith for encouragement, for support, and for just generally being that sounding board for things that you're going through in life. We need each other. And the last is in prayer. Let me tell you an experience that we had. A couple years ago, we had a small group, and, you know, praying in front of people is a problem for some. And we're going to go to prayer time. And it was silence. It was awkward silence. You can only pray so many times. And then we had an issue in our small group. And all of a sudden, people are praying because it doesn't matter what it sounds like. See, even when I pray or you pray or anybody, when it goes through the roof, the Lord straightens it out. The Holy Spirit straightens it out and sends it to heaven in a package that only he knows. And our idea, the God's direction in our life is for us to lift up holy hands in prayer and intercession and for prayer for each of us in both need and in praise. And I think about that. All of a sudden, it changed the whole face of our small group. All of a sudden, people weren't worried about whether it should look like this or sound like this. Just speak to the Lord. That's what we want to do. And that's what prayer is. And prayer is for us to tell our heart, tell God our heart and our concerns, and to give him all the honor and to give him all the glory. Amen? And so, you know what? It doesn't have to look and be packaged like... I remember where I grew up, you know, people used to pray through the Bible. And you say, well, I can never do that. I don't think we're supposed to. I think we're supposed to give the Lord our heart and just tell him what we are concerned about. You know, when we first came to Bethel, my kids were so impressed that we would sit around a table on Sunday night and people would pray directly for the needs of each of us. Man, how personal is that? That's what we do at small groups. Fellowship, prayer, breaking of bread, and teaching. That's what it's about. And this morning, I want to encourage you to get involved. You've heard enough about the value of small groups. Let me tell you what's happening this fall. We are studying Name Above All Names by Alistair Begg and Sinclair Ferguson. Our plan is to kick off the speaking of this Sunday morning at our second service on the 15th of October. Small groups will start the week before, so we're going to lead the speaking. Sometimes the speaking happens and we study small groups the next week. In this particular plan, we're going to study it, and then we're going to hear a sermon about it on Sunday. It's a seven-week study. It's Name Above All Names. I'm just going to give you some of the titles. Jesus, the Seed of a Woman. Jesus, the True Prophet, the High Priest, the Conquering King, the Son of Man, the Suffering Servant, the Lamb on the throne. It's going to be awesome. If you've ever listened to Alistair Begg or Sinclair Ferguson, you know there's depth here. So this is not a light book, but it's a doable book. It's a book that we need to study to learn more about our Savior. So we're going to start that. The sign-ups are in the foyer today. You would have gotten one of these in your bulletin. It lists the Wednesdays and Thursdays study and geographically where they are in town. We're studying the same topic all the way through the fall. And what we typically do is when we break for Christmas season, we come back in the new year within the small group. They come up with a plan of what they want to study independent of each other. So then they can be what the group themselves comes up with. So I encourage you to don't leave today without getting your name on a list. And we're going to run into problems. We have about 11 or 12 small groups right now. If everybody in this room is committed to small groups, we're not going to have enough host homes. We're not going to have enough leaders. So maybe God's putting it in your heart and on your heart to mobilize your gift in leadership in your home. So we'll see where that goes today, but we're praying that each one will be involved, and the same value as you've heard from the testimonies will be part of your experience as we walk together, as we live together, as we interact together as the church that God intends. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the direction that you give us in scripture. Thank you for the early church. And Lord, we would want to be like that. We would want to be all in. We would want to be enthused. We want to be exuberant. We would want to put you first in our focus, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in small groups and the testimony of those. Thank you for changing our direction, Lord. First of all, we think of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what it's done to each one in this room that have trusted you as their own Savior, Lord. How you've changed our darkness to light, and you've changed our crooked way to straightness. Lord, we would pray that if there's any in this room that doesn't know what that is and doesn't value that your spirit would convict their heart even this morning, and that we would be able to talk with them and pray with them and show them the road that leads to you. Lord, we just again thank you for your grace and your love, and we ask that you'll energize us. Help us to be enthused about the person we believe in, that is you. Thank you for what you are and who you are, Lord, and thank you that you're sitting on the throne today. Thank you for your sovereignty, and that we said in first service, we want to bow to that. We want to bow to your will, and Lord, we want to own you as being the I am of all creation, the God eternal. Thank you for what you've done in our life, and we ask you'll bless each one of us today as we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You are dismissed. Hit the tables on the way out.